and welcome back to Our American Queen. I'm Erin.
And I'm Emily. And today we are going to be breaking down the release of Red Taylor's version in terms of Taylor's overall reputation in the re-recording era.
Yes, so right now I would say is probably the most, I guess, relevant Taylor has been probably in a long time, maybe since her probably most relevant time period, which would be around like 2015 to 2016. Everyone's talking about her, as you probably know and have seen. Right now she's everywhere, and she hasn't really been everywhere in the way that she is in a long time. So we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. It even feels like Folklore and Evermore was nothing compared to the release of Red.
Yeah, and I would agree. And I think part of that, and maybe a big part of that, has to do with the whole boyfriend aspect of it and who inspired this song, who inspired that song, and just the Jake Gyllenhaal of it all.
But I think also it has to do with COVID, obviously, because now she's able, because even with Fearless, she wasn't able to go out or do anything. But with Red, she's been able to be out and about. She went to all the late night shows and SNL.
Yes.
But then also a huge part of it is TikTok as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel as though ever since she got on TikTok, she's been very, very relevant, and there have been so many TikToks about her.
Yeah, and haven't a lot of her songs also trended on TikTok?
Mm-hmm.
So I do agree that that is probably a big part of it as well. So how do we want to start?
Well, first I wanted to talk about, because this episode is called Revisiting the Past, and we know that that's basically what these re-recordings are for. Taylor's redoing the eras of the albums that she is re-recording. So I thought it would be interesting to take a look at Taylor's reputation back in 2012 versus today.
Yeah, so why don't you first tell us a little bit about her reputation in 2012?
So from what I remember being, how old was I when Red came out?
I was 12. Like,
okay,
actually,
so I was like 14.
I think it came out on my 13th birthday.
Okay, so I was 15. Yeah, 15. From what I can remember, it seemed as though it was a more grown-up album. It felt like Taylor was growing up. And you saw in the Fearless era and the Speak Now era, she would always have the really curly, long hair and the princess imagery and the big dresses and everything. But then with Red, she had like the slick, straight hair with the bangs.
And the red lips.
The red lips. The the hipster clothes that were in at the time.
Well, also, I'll just interrupt for a second. So I think when I was like 13, that's kind of when I started getting into like a preppy phase. I think that was around the time. I remember, and Taylor was in her preppy phase too.
Oh, with
she
the
was,
Keds.
Yeah, she was dating, and she was dating Connor Kennedy for part of it. So she was kind of like really preppy to be in with the Kennedys maybe. So I remember I loved the red fashion at the time because I was just like so into it. Anyway, continue.
So, and then in terms of her public life, I think that was when the whole narrative about her boyfriend started, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because before that, she had John Mayer and Joe Jonas, but they were, like, big stories, but they didn't make as big of a splash as, say, Harry Styles or Jake Gyllenhaal.
Well, the other thing, yes, that's true. And the other thing to mention about Red is, I was kind of going to speak to this a little bit. Red was her first
pop
full
album,
crossover into pop, and with that, We Are Never Getting Back Together and I Knew You Were Trouble were her first two, like, big mainstream hits. And so I think with Red, that was the first time that Taylor was fully, like, in the pop mainstream. Like, she was a household name. Like, everybody knew who she was at that point. So this was probably the first album where she actually was, like, a mega superstar.
Yeah, I totally
pop
agree
star.
With that.
And then, of course, that only increased with the release of 1989, 2 years later.
Yeah. But speaking on the boyfriends, the relationship between Taylor and Harry that was going on during it was like when she was promoting the Red Era, mm-hmm. people see that as a mechanism for her to transform herself into a pop star in tandem with the release of her pop songs that were on Red. So to sum it all up, I would say that during the Red Era, Taylor was definitely still having that good girl image, but it seems like she was letting go of it a little bit, especially aesthetically, because mm-hmm. the dresses were gone, the curly hair was gone, and it really seems like it was a transformation into her being more of a songwriting artist and more of a artist that is known for her music rather than just being like a young girl.
Yeah, I would agree. And you can even kind of see that in the music videos, I would say, which are the Red music videos definitely are more mature than her previous ones. I'm thinking especially of I Knew You Were Trouble.
Yeah.
And then I guess kind of 22, but not really. Begin Again, though, was mature in a different way where it was like
the clothes. Yeah,
the clothes were kind of more adult and just, I mean, that's just a beautiful music video, but it definitely does have a more mature feel to it.
So, yeah, I think we could definitely say that during the Red Era, she was becoming more of a woman because she was in that age, like 22, where people are graduating from college or just kind of getting like their first job or like a big life event like that. It's mm-hmm. like a very important time.
Yes, and it was most definitely a transformative period of time for Taylor, going from country star to global pop star icon.
Yeah, and it's kind of sad to talk about that time because you know what comes next, the 1989 inevitable downfall.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Red Era, I believe that she was, like, I feel like she was perceived positively by the general public. Not, like, incredibly positively, but a little bit more. And then also, we've touched on this a lot on this podcast, but it does seem that in the entertainment industry, I'll just speak on that, that once a woman does gain more and more power and influence, the more of a target is on their back. So maybe, like you were saying, she wasn't at that peak yet, so people mm-hmm. didn't feel as threatened by her.
Right.
But how would you describe Taylor's reputation as it stands in this moment today?
Yes. I think overall, positive. Because as you were saying, with these re-recordings and the re-releases, people are going back to the past, and I think a lot of people are realizing that a lot of the criticism and a lot of the coverage and just a lot of the insults that were thrown Taylor's way were maybe not necessarily fair back in the day. So I think with that, it has been positive because people have been revisiting the past. However, I do see a lot of the same themes popping back up again now, which haven't been around because Taylor has been dating Joe for the past five years?
Yeah.
Is it 5 years? So the whole thing about the boyfriends and the breakup songs, blah, blah, blah.
And being crazy.
Yeah.
And she can't let go of anything.
Those things haven't really been around much lately because of Joe, I guess. But with the re-recordings, they're coming back up, which is annoying. But I think overall, I would say positive.
I agree with that. I have seen all of the things that you're talking about come back up, especially when she performed on SNL, and a segment of the general public who probably doesn't listen to her music, they were commenting, like, are you kidding me? She's still, like, hung up on Jake Gyllenhaal.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly just don't think that they get it, like, the whole re-recording process.
No.
But that's really annoying to see pop back up again. But then also, I'm seeing something, like, all of these news, like, the New York Times and all these places are doing all these think pieces, like, mm-hmm. maybe we treated Taylor badly.
Yeah.
Like, and it reminds me a lot of the stuff that was going on about Britney Spears. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, too little, too late. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would say, I mean, I guess maybe part of that is not on Taylor, but I do wish that there was more of an emphasis on the why she's doing these re-recordings. Exactly. Because it's not about dredging up the past. It's not about just revisiting all these old boyfriends and all these views and everything. It's not about that. It's about her owning her work. And the reason she has to do all this promotion and all this stuff is to sell it, because otherwise, obviously, it wouldn't be worth doing it. But that's not the money and the exposure and everything's not the main reason she's doing it. And it is a reason, but it's not the main reason. And I wish that she placed more of an emphasis on the fact that she's doing this to own her music.
That made me laugh so much, what you just said about revisiting her exes.
Yeah.
Like she's doing a tour.
Well, I think that's how people view it. Like, why is she doing this?
Well, yeah, actually, speaking of that, let's get into our next point, which is we want to talk about what has transpired with Jake Gyllenhaal and John Mayer.
Yeah.
And there's this meme going on that's like, oh, you know, I think I saw somebody brought to a Harry Styles concert a sign that said, like, Harry, you're next.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, the big meme going around, but...
Yeah, and I don't like that because...
Yeah.
That's not what this is about. It's not like, oh, John Mayer, you're up next. Harry, you're up next. It's not trying to,
yeah, it's like with John,
roast all her ex-boyfriends.
With John, it's like, you know, you better go in hiding until Speak Now, like, or after Speak Now drops.
Yeah. And I kind of predicted this at the beginning of the, well, like, when she announced she was actually going to do this, the re-recording. I said, I think probably part of her promotional strategy will be the ex-boyfriends, because as annoying as it is and as stupid as it is, it does pick up a lot of promotion, and I think it probably does sell albums and make Taylor relevant. So I do think that is part of her strategy. I think she knows that that's a selling point maybe to this whole process, which is annoying because the music can obviously stand on its own. And I understand that that's, like, kind of fun to speculate about, blah, blah, blah. But I just wish that the past could be in the past. And I wish that there just wasn't so much emphasis on the men that these albums are about.
Especially
and more
because,
on Taylor herself.
Especially because the whole point of this is because a man stole her work.
Yeah.
Two men, actually.
Yeah. So it's just, like, kind of annoying that the focus, well, I guess maybe not the focus, but a lot of attention has
been
placed.
It is honestly the focus.
Yeah, on the men that these albums are about rather than the woman who created the music itself.
And, like, during the press tour for Red TV, we've seen Taylor say multiple times,
mm-hmm.
I think Lane said this in the All Too Well short film episode, Taylor has said multiple times, These songs are not about me anymore, they're about mm-hmm. you, because we've had these songs for like 10 years, we've connected them to our personal experiences, mm-hmm. so who cares what they're about for Taylor?
Yeah, and I think she has tried to emphasize the idea that this is not, again, about the past, it's about moving forward, owning this work, and then once she re-records all the albums, she will now own them, and then she can move forward with her life. It's not yeah. about going back in the past and being like, ooh, who can we roast next?
Especially like, because a lot of it was traumatic for her, especially yeah. the 1989 era. Which leads us to what I was touching on earlier, the John Mayer thing,
mm-hmm.
which I don't like. I don't want it to happen, like, to any of these people, but there was a DM that I think, I don't know if he released it or if the... Well, he said in it, like, you can do whatever you want
I think,
with it.
Yeah, the person who sent the DM, I'm pretty sure, was the one who shared the screenshots.
Yeah, and they said just, like, really, really gross stuff to him. And he was just like, oh.
He responded, yeah. I think they said something like, you can, like, I hope you choke or something like that. And he was like, do you actually wish I
yeah.
choke? Or whatever they said. It was some kind of, like, death threat or... violence threat of some sort, and basically he just came back and said, oh, hi, this is John, like, do you actually mean this? Do you really want me to die? And they're like, oh my god, of course yeah. not, I don't want you to die. And he's like, then why did you say that you do? And they're like, I don't know, it's just because it's something to say, basically. And he was like, well, it's okay, but just realize that, like, a lot of the things that you say like this, the people who you're sending it to might actually see it, and it might actually scare them. It might hurt their feelings.
Yeah, and then at the end, I think they said, you better watch out. Speak Now is coming.
Yeah, and she warned him. She was like, you're going to get a lot of these messages, which I don't know how to feel because...
Yeah, let's touch on that. This brings us back to the Ginny and...
Obviously,
and Taylor... also let's group Jake into this as well, yeah. Because he's definitely getting horrible messages. I think he, like, disabled comments.
Yeah, so I'm sure he's getting harassed and threatened and all.
And they don't deserve it.
No.
Obviously.
Now, we could say that Taylor obviously is not encouraging this. She's done nothing to say you should go harass all of my ex-boyfriends and you should send death threats to them.
And like we said, she said that they're her fan songs, not hers.
Yeah, I don't think she's even said a word about them at all. So then it kind of gets to the point whether or not Taylor herself should address these things, because obviously they're happening and people are targeting, I guess you could say, Jake Gyllenhaal, John Mayer, probably Harry Styles at some point, if not already. All of these high-profile ex-boyfriends of Taylor's, like, does she have the responsibility to say something like, you should not be doing these things, you should leave them alone? I don't know.
I have a take on it. What is it? And it's different from my Ginny and Georgia.
What is it?
I think that she, when the album came out, I think she should have done either a video or a post reiterating what she said on the red carpet about how, like, they're your songs, they're the fan songs, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
So that more people would have seen it because it would have been on her social media and she could have, like, written other stuff that didn't have to address it, like, head on, but she could have alluded to maybe, like, gone into it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's hard because I feel like as though she doesn't want to address it because she thinks that her fans will be angry or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't know, it's just right to put something out.
Yeah, because right now, I mean, we could just assume, although I don't know, people I think assume different things. Some people think by her not saying anything, it means that she wants people to harass her ex-boyfriends and she encourages it. I think a lot of other people, probably most people, assume that basically what you said, by her not really coming out and saying, please stop doing this, she just wants to avoid any kind of controversy. Obviously, she doesn't encourage it or want people to continue doing this, but by speaking out, she doesn't want to upset anybody. I don't know. I don't really know where I land on it. I think it'd be very easy for her to just simply tweet something or, like, make a little video as these re-recordings come out. Just remember, like you said, the subject material doesn't matter anymore. This is like, yeah, our process. These are for you. These are for me. This is about owning my music. Please don't harass anybody.
Bye. Yeah. Like, I truly think she should have done that, and I think she should do that in the future.
Yeah, and it's like you said, she doesn't necessarily need to come out and say, please stop harassing Jake Gyllenhaal, but she can kind of...
Well, she never would say his name.
But I think she can kind of say it in a way where it's like, alluding, you know, this is not about anybody in my past, like, please don't harass anybody, this is my thing, like, it's not about the past, it's about the future, blah, blah, blah.
And I've seen a lot of people bring up this point, like, the Taylor Swift is over party,
mm-hmm,
that really hurt her. That made her go away for a year. Like, I don't know. It is hypocritical.
Yeah.
Because she didn't like that, but now all these people are coming for all of her exes.
Yeah. I agree with that. And I obviously am not inside the mind of Taylor, of course, but I would say probably in her mind, she's like, well, it's not my fault. Like, they're doing it on their own, but it is indirectly a result of this whole thing. So I think some of the responsibility falls on her.
Yeah, and then specifically, do you think the new lyrics of the 10-minute All Too Well have contributed to this? In terms of people saying she can't get over it, or in terms of people harassing Jake?
I would say maybe not so much the song itself, but the video, the short film, is probably more of the cause in my mind.
In what sense?
Well, I think when you make it a visual thing where she made Dylan O'Brien look like Jake Gyllenhaal did when they dated, and she got a young actress to kind of play her part, and maybe she says it's not a parallel of their relationship, but I think we all know it is. I think the visual aspect of it probably stays with people more than the lyrics, even.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I don't know, the whole, I feel like a lot of people who are saying these things maybe haven't even listened to the song, haven't even watched the video. They just kind of go along with the trend, like, oh, Jake Gyllenhaal, blah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think pretty much all of this is coming from the general public about, mm-hmm. like, she can't get over anything. And also the stuff about the scarf, like, being her virginity.
Yeah.
Like, I saw a clip of The View talking about that. Please don't.
Yeah, it's really weird.
It's so weird.
I completely disagree that that's what the scarf is representing.
It doesn't even matter. Just, like, please don't talk about it.
Yeah, it's really weird. Yeah, when you start speculating about her sex life
and
weird, because she doesn't talk about it. Her songs barely talk about it. Like, you have a song like Dress, which kind of alludes to it, but it's really not something she ever talks about, sings about, writes about. So I just feel like it should be left out of the conversation.
And sing about it, like, don't talk about it, please. But anyway,
I feel like it's just a lot of people still view her as, like, a child, almost. Like, a little silly girl who can't get over things and just haven't... They just want to hold on to that image regardless of what Taylor does. And, I mean, she could release an album like Folklore or Evermore with little to no fanfare, and just kind of live her life, be really private, barely post on any social media, never be seen with her boyfriend, and people are still going to say these things. So at this point, I don't even think it matters, because no matter what she does, this will always haunt her. So
just to cap that part, do you think the re-recording era is going to continue to drag up her past?
Oh, definitely.
Okay, so that leads us to, let's say we get 1989 next.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one will be the biggest re-recording.
Yes, I agree.
Especially with Harry.
Yeah.
That's going to be a frenzy.
Yeah, it definitely will be. And I also have a prediction I want to make right here and now. So my favorite album is Reputation. I love it, and it's, I would say, generally underappreciated. I think when she re-records it, it's going to be a huge, huge moment, and everyone's going to be like, why didn't we always love this album? Like, the general public, I'm talking about, like, damn, this is a good album. How come we didn't realize it at the time? That's my prediction about Reputation, which I also think will be a very big thing. And that was her whole cancellation era. I think 1989 and Reputation are probably going to be the biggest, most talked about re-recordings in addition to Red. I wasn't even expecting Red to be this big, though, so who knows?
Yeah, but as this whole thing was about, I think, like you said, people did latch on to the relationship stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a difference between latching onto it with nostalgia and latching onto it with, I don't know, there's just a difference in the way that fans approach it and in the way that the general public does.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could see how it's tea, but it doesn't have to be like, oh, well, she's dragging everything back up. I talked about this in our episode about Red. I like seeing the vault tracks because it gives me extra context to other songs that I've been listening to for years, and I like that.
Well, that's, like, what I'm saying. Even if it's still, like, a little bit of intrigue around her relationships with that, the focus is still on her music. And it's like, how can these vault songs give context to songs I've been listening to for years, and how can it paint a fuller picture of the album and, like, her relationships at the time? So it's all about the music, and I think that is the case for all of, maybe not all, but, like, if for most of her fans, it's about the music and how the relationships tie into the music. Whereas the general public maybe doesn't care about the music, and they're just trying to, like, trash Taylor about her relationships.
I think a lot of this could be fixed with a Miss Americana-esque documentary about the re-recordings, mm-hmm. where she can finally dive into her past relationships. She doesn't have to go into detail, but I think the lack of information that we have is what leads people to make assumptions. Mm-hmm. And even in Miss Americana, she didn't even talk about really her past relationships. And I don't need her to, like, go into it, but...
No, I don't really... I don't know. I disagree, because I feel like the music sort of speaks for itself. I don't know.
I don't mean it like that. I mean in terms of Ginny and Georgia. When she said, stop talking about my dating life. I want her to talk about why it makes her upset.
Oh, right.
That's what I mean. I don't want her to be like, me and Harry dated in 20... Like, no. I'm talking about... This bothers me because blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Like, I would love to hear her talk about that.
Yeah.
And she has in the past, but I would like more updated.
I think she's, like, afraid, mostly, because she knows that it's, like, kind of a big topic, and she doesn't want to cause controversy. And obviously we know from Miss Americana, like you mentioned, the public opinion is, like, everything to her.
Yeah.
So I feel like she's very, and that kind of even ties into why maybe she hasn't reined in her fans or reined in people from harassing her ex-boyfriend.
That's what I think. I think she's afraid.
She really, really cares about the public image of her, and she's terrified to do anything to upset the balance, I guess.
Yeah. Is that a good place to leave it?
I think so.
Okay. So tomorrow we will be posting part two of this conversation and talking about the future of the re-recordings and what the future holds for Taylor
mm-hmm.
in terms of her business and just other things like that, what we can predict in the future for, like, the 1989 re-recording,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yes.
Thank you for listening. This was a very rambling episode, but I thought it was fun.
All right.
Bye.